Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 1, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, "My dear King, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists." Purport. Even the very question is so nice that it is the best subject matter for hearing. Simply by such questioning and hearing, one can achieve the highest perfectional stage of life. Because Lord Krishna is the original Supreme Person, any question about Him is original and perfect. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the highest perfection of life is to achieve the transcendental loving service of Krishna, because questions and answers about Krishna elevate one to that transcendental position. The questions of Maharaj Parikshit about Krishna philosophy are greatly glorified. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to absorb his mind completely in Krishna, and such absorption can be effected simply by hearing about the uncommon activities of Krishna. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that simply by understanding the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's appearance, disappearance, and activities, one can immediately return home back to Godhead and never come back to this miserable condition of material existence. It is very auspicious, therefore, to hear always about Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit requested Shukadev Goswami to narrate the activities of Krishna so that he could engage his mind in Krishna. The activities of Krishna are none different from Krishna himself. As long as one is engaged in hearing such transcendental activities of Krishna, he remains aloof from the conditional life of material existence. The topics of Lord Krishna are so auspicious that they purify the speaker, the hearer, and the inquirer. They are compared to the Ganges water, which flow from the toe of Lord Krishna. Wherever the Ganges waters go, they purify the land and the person who bathes in them. Similarly, Krishna Katha, or the topics of Krishna, are so pure that wherever they are spoken, the place, the hearer, the inquirer, the speaker, and all concerned become purified. Sri Shuka Uvacha Varyanesha Te Prashna Krito Lokahitam Nripa Atnavit Samata Pungsang Shrotavyadishu Yah Paraha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, "My dear King, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists." The second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the most glorious literature in the universe, the only literature worthy of reading, literature in pursuance of the version of Bhagavatam. This literature is famous as having been spoken by Shukadev Goswami, but similarly to Bhagavad Gita, in which Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, speaks, beginning in the second chapter. So here also Shukadev Goswami begins his speaking at the beginning of this second canto. How he came to speak before Parikshit Maharaj, topics of Krishna, is explained in the first canto of Bhagavatam, how Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die within 7 days, which actually happened. He apparently died, although that is called, for a devotee, the death, that's not called death, that's called vijay, conquering. He conquers over birth and death. So Parikshit Maharaj was prepared for that. How is that possible? He was the king. He had so many social and political affairs and so many things to manage and oversee. And suddenly, unexpectedly, he was cursed to die within 7 days. And he accepted. All right, okay, I'll die within 7 days. So let me now leave everything immediately. How could he do that? I wonder how many of us, if we were told just to leave everything, even in our service to Krishna, if we could just stop that and only hear about Krishna. Are we ready? Parikshit Maharaj was prepared. That means he was always prepared. He was internally prepared for being fully Krishna conscious. Of course, we understand that it was not that he was not Krishna conscious in his family life. But there were so many other affairs as the king of the emperor of the whole world, and so many other social affairs, political affairs, family affairs, this, that, the other. He didn't have the opportunity to directly always speak about and hear about Krishna. But internally, he was cultivating Krishna consciousness fully. So he was ready. He wasn't attached. Generally, the kings, they expect to live a long life. We see the descriptions in Bhagavatam. They live a long life and then they prepare themselves that at the end of life they'll renounce, and they do that. Unlike, as Prabhupada often pointed out, unlike the modern rulers who hold on to their position even when they've lost it. What's that called? Milosevic or something? He's lost his position, but he's still hanging in there, proud. So we're informed. But generally this kind of thing we wouldn't expect. That the king would be cursed to die suddenly. He would be thinking that I'll be ruling my kingdom for some time, and then when the right time comes, I will leave and I will become Krishna conscious. I'll go to the forest. There are so many Rajarshis mentioned in Bhagavatam. But this is the first event of Kali Yuga. This is not expected in other ages that such a thing would happen. But it happened now. This is the first sign that Kali Yuga has entered, that the Brahmin boy, Sringi, who has the power of a Brahmana, but not the behavior of a Brahmana, not the discretion, not the compassion of a Brahmana, he has cursed Parikshit Maharaj. Who is ready? All right, let me accept this curse. So Parikshit Maharaj, being a Rajarshi, he was thinking, now I have to die, so I have to take up spiritual life. Even to date, in India, of course, India is, as we've been saying for the last so many years, India is going down and still going down. And we didn't see the bottom yet. I don't know if we'll see the bottom. We didn't see the bottom even in Western civilization. How degraded. It's always becoming more and more degraded. But even today in India, there are people who they live their family life and then they retire and then they think, well, so many people, now I should do something. Now I should take up spiritual life. So that was expected. That was expected of certainly of the King Puna Brahmana Punya Bhakta Raja Shayastata, especially of the kings, the devotees, the Kshatriyas, the Brahmanas. They were expected that their life is meant for spiritual realization. So it was Parikshit Maharaj immediately thinking that now death is upon me. I wasn't expecting it so soon, but the king also learns to expect the unexpected. So anything can happen at any time. So death was upon him. Now he thinks that now I have to take up spiritual life. So he went to the bank of the Ganga, or the Yamuna, to find out what is the purpose of life, what is the duty of every human being, especially of one who is about to die. This was his question. And so many rishis from throughout the universe came at that time. That's very significant, because Sringi, when cursing Maharaj Parikshit, had called him Grihapal, dog who stays outside and protects the house. He had considered the Brahmanas like this. He's considered the Kshatriyas like this, that we are Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, their job is simply to protect us, just like you keep a dog outside. But we see that the rishis came from all over the universe, that their outlook was different, that here is a kshatriya, grihastha. Of course, many of the rishis were also grihasthas, but they were highly renounced, whereas a kshatriya, at least externally, they're not renounced, not at all. Big palaces and so many servants, and whenever they come into their assembly, the people will say, Maharaj ki jai ho, or whatever the equivalent is in Sindhi. So they live a very opulent, luxurious kind of life. They have so many wives. They appear to be fully entangled. Whereas the rishis, they're very renounced. They're fully devoted to spiritual culture, even if they're grihasthas. But they all came to see Maharaj Parikshit, because they realized that this is not an ordinary person who's about to pass away. Not an ordinary person means that he is in the line of the Pandavas. He is the grandson of Arjuna, and he inherited not only the kingly qualities of the Pandavas, but he inherited the bhakti also. From his very childhood, he would play with dolls means he'd imitate the deity worship. So he was a great devotee from his very birth. And now he's come to pass away. So it's like the great Rajarshis of the past who are described in the Bhagavatam. It's a great event how this great personality is, certainly he's going to be liberated. He's not going to take birth again in this material world. So they came to see and maybe to give their advice to him, but he wasn't very satisfied with their advice, because they're rishis, and nasav rishi yasya matam nabhinnam. One cannot be recognized as a rishi unless he has different opinions. So they're all giving their different opinions. What he has asked, the important question, most vital question, the question that every human being should answer, the question that without asking, one is not even really a human being. He's a two-legged animal. What is the duty of every human being, and especially of one who is about to die? So many rishis may have been giving their opinion. You should look at the end of your nose and breathe through one nostril in and breathe out through the other. So many different ideas have been given. Nasav rishya, yasya matam nabhinnam. All giving different ideas. But Parikshit Maharaj, he wasn't satisfied, because practically he already knew the answer. At least in theory, he knew the answer. He couldn't be satisfied with anything else. Then hearing about Krishna, he wanted to hear about Krishna, who he knew to be the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, and the object of love. So Shukadeva Goswami, although from a very different background, had the same outlook on life. Very different background means, we know the history, he was born as the son of Vyasadeva. And from his very birth, he was also, like Parikshit Maharaj, a great devotee. We could say even before his birth, he was a great devotee. Well, he was Parinishtita Pinaya Gunya. He was fixed in impersonal realization within the womb. Of course, that's also considered birth. That's a wrong idea in Western understanding, that birth means when you come out of the womb. But actually birth means when the semina mixes with the ovum and the soul enters. That is, according to Vedic culture, that is called Garbhastha Janma, that one is born within the womb, and then there's Bhumistha Janma, when one actually comes out. So they don't have these funny ideas that they have in the Western country that birth begins when you come out of the womb. Therefore, that if you want to dispose of the enlargening garbage within your womb before it comes out, then you just have an abortion. They have some funny ideas. It's like if you can't pass stool, you have an enema, something like that. So Shukadev Goswami, he was a great devotee, or self-realized soul. And later he became attracted to Uttama Shloka Leela, to the, this he describes in the verses coming up, how he became attracted to hearing the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is glorified in the topmost shloka. So many rishis, they were present, and no doubt they were citing so many different shastras, so many different shlokas. And generally throughout shastra there will be discussion, of, it will be stated that this is the topmost path, or this is the topmost path. So, yoga, this is the topmost path. Worship. Worship Devi, there is no path above this. They will all say, this is supreme. So it can become confusing if one is not guided by a proper acharya. Shukadev Goswami, he was guided by the prototype acharya, we could say, or the acharya of all acharyas, Vyasadeva, who taught him knowledge beyond impersonal understanding. That yes, I compiled the Vedas, and within the Vedas there are so many Traigunya Vishaya, so many activities within the modes of material nature. Then there are the Upanishads, which mostly deal with the Nistraigunya position, the position beyond the modes of material nature. But there is more. There is more to be known. There is to be known about the personality of Godhead. So Shukadev Goswami became attracted to this, and not only attracted, but he became so much expert in understanding the Absolute Truth Personality of Godhead that he became even able to speak to Vyasadeva, who spoke to him, who was his guru and father. That means he absorbed the subject matter, understanding not simply on the intellectual platform, but that is a matter of appreciation. We have at the beginning of Bhagavatam that this Bhagavatam, it is a shastra which is the Vedyam Vastavam Atravastu. It is the actual subject matter of the Vedas. But what is that? It is a Rasik Shastra, it is, or Rasa Shastra, which is to be appreciated by those who are Rasik, those who are expert in relishing mellows, of whom Shukadev Goswami, he has touched this Bhagavatam like a parrot has touched a ripe fruit with his beak. Often we see in Indian painting, Shukadev Goswami is painted with a beak. Yeah, maybe, we don't know. May or may not be, I haven't found out. But he's often painted with a beak because he's Shuka. He's a the name is there, parrot. So, but actually Prabhupada says that his parrot-like quality is not that he's actually a parrot, but he has that quality that Shukamakadamrita Drava Sangyatam, the Bhagavatam, which is already the ripened fruit, Galitam Phalam, is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. It has become sweeter by being touched by the lips. Prabhupada used the word lips, so parrots don't have lips. By the lips of Shukadev Goswami. He's made it more sweet. He's churned out this rasa. This is sarvaveteti hasanam saram saram ihudaharitam. The Bhagavatam is said to be the essence of the essence of all the Vedas and histories and Puranas and all the Vedic literatures. So that was given by Vyasadeva. But Shukadev Goswami, he has taken more, even more essence. How deep can we go? How deeply shall we go? More and more deep. So his exposition of Bhagavatam was relished even by Vyasadeva. Even by Narad Muni, who is the guru of Vyasadeva, who told Narad, now you have to compile this Bhagavatam. So he compiled it. Then he spoke it to Shuka. Then Shuka again spoke. So Shukadeva Goswami was in a similar position to Parikshit Maharaj, inasmuch as he was known as a great devotee. But he didn't have the opportunity to discuss about Krishna. He left home. He left his father. He could have stayed with Vyasadeva and discussed more and more about Krishna Katha. But he was a very careful transcendentalist. He thought that Vyasadeva, he's Vyasadeva. He's not any ordinary person. He's the knower of all the Shastras. He's the guru of all Sampradayas. But still, he's my father. So I have to be careful. I don't want to get entangled in materialistic way of thinking. So he left home. And then who will he speak with? The world is full of non-devotees. Who will he speak with? So he was simply wondering as a, appearing like a madman, that rather be considered mad than have to speak with these mad people. What will they understand? And Parikshit Maharaj, he was in a similar situation, that he was administering the kingdom, and no doubt brahmanas and rishis were coming to his court and attending to him. But practically he was more advanced than almost all brahmanas and rishis. That we see, that Shukadeva Goswami, he came, he spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. There are so many rishis who are present, but the dialogue is going on between Shukadeva and Parikshit. And the others, they are listening. They have that humility to understand that we have to learn something here. Not like Sringi, who simply rejected Parikshit Maharaj. No, we have something to learn. He's asking us a question, but we're not able to give the proper answer. And they had enough humility that here is this young boy, actually. He's a young boy, but he is fit to speak what we are not fit to speak. We should listen to him. We should hear him. Vridhatvam vaya samvina, that proverb quotes. That is someone, we have to respect elderly people, but one may be considered elderly without age, without physical age. That means if he's experienced in knowledge. Generally, we expect an older person to be more knowledgeable because you have more time to study. That we see that our godbrothers now, most of them are very learned in Shastra, studied so many Shastras and so many different things, which when we were just newly in the movement, we didn't have so much knowledge because it takes time to study so many things. Even we're studying the Bhagavatam and you will study again and again and again and again and so many points to be understood. You read once, and then first time you have some kind of idea, and then second time you read you think, well, what happened the first time I read it? I'm seeing so many things which I didn't see. And it goes on like that every time we read. Again and again and again we read. We say, oh, you see, what's this? I didn't find that before. So Bhagavatam is unlimited. We can go deeper and deeper and deeper, but it takes some time to study. So it might be thought that Shukadeva Goswami, he's a young boy, that what will he speak in the assembly of some of these rishis with thousands of years old? And he's a young boy. But they wanted to hear from him because he had the realization of Krishna Bhakti. Not just book knowledge, but also the realization of the, especially Shukadeva is mentioned, because he knows the sweetness of Krishna, and he wanted to impart that to the king. So he was very grateful. Here in today's verse, he's stating that, oh, your question is very nice. I've heard so many things. This he'll say in the next verse. Shotavyadini Rajendra Rinang Santi Sahasrashah. In this verse, he says that this is the proper subject matter for hearing. Shodavyadishoya paraha. This should be heard. This topic, beginning with this topic, This is what should be heard. And then in the next verse we'll hear, he'll say that in human society, people have so many topics for discussion. I've been wandering around and I hear people there discussing so many things, but they're not discussing this. This is the proper subject for hearing. Atmavit samatah purusham. Those who are atmavit, those who know the science of the soul, they accept that this is the proper subject matter for hearing. But those who are apashyatam, atmatattvam, those who are blind to the knowledge of self-realization, they are griheshu grihamedhinam. They're simply tied up in household life without knowledge of the soul. So these are the first words of Shukadeva Goswami. All this Parikshit Maharaj was sitting, waiting, and all the sages were sitting and waiting. What will he say? Now he has come. He's sitting. He's ready to speak. We find at the end of the first canto of Bhagavatam that Shukadeva Goswami was sitting there like the moon surrounded by the stars. So many rishis. He's firmly sitting, cool-headed, intelligent, and ready to speak. So what will he speak? What will he speak? Now they're all waiting to hear. What will he speak about? So Shukadeva Goswami, first of all, congratulated the king. Thank you very much. I have so many things to speak. You're ready to sit for 7 days and seven nights? I'm ready to speak. Now you sit. Now you hear. There's many, many things to speak. We have to speak about Krishna. It's an unlimited topic to speak. So we're very grateful that you are ready to hear. So he first of all congratulates Parikshit Maharaj. Then he doesn't immediately start speaking about Krishna's pastimes, which is his actual subject matter for discussion. But first of all, he warns Parikshit Maharaj, you're a great king, you left everything, you came to sit here, but don't go back. Practically he took sannyas without officially taking, but he left everything to hear about Krishna. But he's warning him, now you've come to hear about this. This is the proper subject matter for hearing. Already you heard so many different subject matters. As the king, he must have heard so many different things. Directly and indirectly. Directly means so many political problems come to him, so many people come to him with their desires, their problems. And indirectly means he would hear from the brahmanas who would come to the court and tell so many stories. So he'd heard so many things. But now Shukadeva Goswami is saying, you are in that household alike. You heard so many things. You discussed so many things. Now you have asked the proper question. Now sit here and listen to the answer. Don't go away. Now you've come to hear the proper subject matter. Because that subject matter which you are thinking very important, it is actually unimportant. It is not conducive to your actual welfare. This subject matter, this is Loka hitam nripaha, O king, this subject matter which will be addressed by the answer to your question, that is for the benefit of the world, that is the benefit for everybody, that is for the benefit of you. And other subject matters, they are not beneficial. There are thousands and thousands of subject matters in human society which you've heard already, either in this life or in previous lives, but they're not at all beneficial for you. They will simply cause you to become again and again tied up in family life. As long as you are apashyatam atmatattvam, as long as you are in the position of not understanding the truth of the self, which you have now inquired from me about, actually, by asking what is the prime duty of all human beings and of those who are about to die, it's understood that he's not asking about, well, should he instruct his family members how to claim their insurance policy, and should he build a new house for, just like Prabhupada gave the example, one man, he was about to die, and he was asking the doctor, please give me 4 years to complete my plans. So what should he be asking? Should he be asking, is there some new drug that can prolong my life? No, it's understood. Parikshit Maharaj was not such a fool. He's a practically self-realized from his birth. So he's come to hear about Krishna. But don't be deluded into going back. It's possible that even after taking sannyas, having considered this world simply disgusting, not worth to live in, having turned your back on that, you can also again return to materialistic life. So he warns him immediately. Shukadeva Goswami doesn't waste any time. We only have 7 days and seven nights. There's not much time. We have to discuss the whole subject matter of the absolute truth, which actually cannot be discussed fully in millions of lifetimes. But we have to discuss. We only have, you may think, Parikshit Maharaj listened for 7 days and seven nights. It's a very long time. But Shukadeva Goswami was only 7 days and seven nights. So let's immediately come to the point that I congratulated you. Yes, it's very nice. I sincerely mean that. Now, let's get focused. What is our subject matter? We have to hear about the absolute truth. So, for the next few verses, he will continue on that theme. What is the position of materialistic people? You came out of that. Now you have taken, physically you have left home. You've left home, you've left your family, you've left your kingdom, you've left your subjects, and no doubt behind, if you go back to Hastinapur, you'll find everyone is in a state of shock. What happened? All of a sudden our king left us. The ministers might even be making some petition that why don't we, we can go to Sringi and ask him to withdraw the curse and you can come back and be the king again. Who knows what is going on? You don't know. And Parikshit Maharaj himself might be thinking that, well, what about my family and my home and my country and all these things which bind everyone in material life? It's very difficult to give up. Even Prabhupada sometimes used to say that sometimes after taking sannyas, sometimes in my thoughts, the thought of my family members, my wife, that comes. So Shukadeva Goswami, he wanted to fix Parikshit Maharaj. Now you've come here. Now you just listen to this. Don't go away. Listen to this subject. This is the actual subject matter for you and everyone else to hear. Don't be attracted. They may come, a group of petitioners. Come back, come back. We'll make all arrangements. The curse can be withdrawn. We need to be Krishna conscious later. We've heard this many times. That it's all right, you be Krishna conscious, but do it later. Right now you come and perform your material responsibilities. But Shukadeva Goswami, for the next few verses, will explain what is the position of materialistic responsibilities. That nidriya hriyate naktam vyavayena chaya diva chaya vayaha diva cha teheyara jan kutumba bharane nava. That at night they spend, the materialistic people, they spend their time either in sleeping or sex indulgence, and in the daytime in maintaining their families. Which, if we hear it from another materialistic person, sounds very normal, honorable, respectable, and the proper thing to do. This is how people live their lives. You should also do that. You work hard in the day, and at night you enjoy yourselves and sleep and get enough energy to work hard again in the next day. But if we hear that from Shukadeva Goswami, the same thing, a materialistic person sees, I work very hard in the day. At night I go home, I see my wife, and I take rest in my house. I think, oh, very nice, very honorable citizen, very normal person, very good, very nice. But if we hear from Shukadeva Goswami, you see, working all day, and at night they go home and they sleep and they have sex, and we hear it from him, it's the same thing said. But in this context, how they're wasting their time, apashyatam atna tatvam, without seeing what is the absolute truth. They're simply leading their lives blindly, blind to the knowledge of self-realization. So Shukadeva Goswami is, why? What is wrong with that? Everyone is doing that. What is wrong with that? What is wrong? They're blind to the knowledge of self-realization. And deha patya kalata tradishu atma sainish vasat svapi tishang pramata nidhanam paschanapi na paschati. That asat, they're in the position of asat. This may seem very nice, but it is asat, that means, which is not conducive for our ultimate benefit, which is temporary. Who is asat? The very body that we work with, sleep with, and cohabit with, that is asat, that is temporary. And deha apatya, that which is produced from the body, that which falls down from the body, means children. They're also asat. Everything that is dear to me is simply asat. It is not good for you to have these attachments, Shukadev Goswami is saying. Deha patya, kalatra, my dear wife, and adishu, everything else that goes with it. Home, family, wife, bank balance, ato, griha, kshetra, suta, apta, vitaya, money, home, women, children, all these things. It is not for your ultimate benefit. It is asat. It cannot protect you from death. It cannot protect you from illusion. Therefore, we should hear the subject matter that is atma tattva, that which is in relation, what is the truth, what is in relationship to the soul. So therefore, very quickly, he comes to the conclusion, having summarized what is his subject matter. Shukadev Goswami, what is his subject? What are we going to speak about now? He's going to speak for 7 days and seven nights. So the rishis, they would all agree with what Shukadev Goswami has said so far. They would all agree that materialistic life, it's simply entangling. We have to understand what is the Atma. They must have all given similar advice to Parikshit Maharaj before Shukadev came. They all agreed. Whether they're Mayavadis or whatever, they'll all agree with this. But therefore, what is the solution? How to get out of this materialistic life? There are so many sadhus and saints and gurus and rishis, and unless they're completely bogus, which nowadays many of them are, but if they are actual rishis, they'll all agree that we have to come out of materialistic life. Asatoma satgamaya. We have to come out of the asat position and come to the sat, or eternal spiritual position. But what is the nature of that? What is the nature of the sat? What is the nature of reality? And how to attain our sat position, our eternal, real position? That they will have many different opinions. Na savrishya yasya matang nabhinnam. They have so many different opinions. So there, Shukadev Goswami immediately gives his conclusion. What are we going to speak about? What is our subject matter? We've said what is not the subject matter in human society. There's so many topics connected with eating, sleeping, working, and sex indulgence. What is our subject matter? Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi. Our subject matter, therefore, Bharata, O King, O descendant of Bharat, Sarvatma, the Supersoul, Bhagavan, the Personality of Godhead, Hari, Bhagavan, the Personality of Godhead, Ishvara, the Controller, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi, Shrotavya, Kirtitavyascha, Smartavyaschechata Bhayam. That Hari, Krishna, he is the person who is to be heard about. Shrotavyadishu Yaparaha. What is the subject matter that is transcendental, in which is opposite to Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nirnang Santi Sahasrasha, which is opposite to the subject matter of the many subject matters for hearing of materialistic people? What is the one subject matter that is lokahitam, that is for benefit for all? That is the subject matter of Hari. So you should hear, and kirtitavyas, that is to be chanted. I will speak, you will hear, and we shall therefore both remember. We should remember Krishna. So this is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. The subject matter is Krishna. and Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. That not Krishna, how we will, by the blessings of Krishna, we will enjoy this material life. That is not the subject matter of Shukadeva Goswami. He's not interested. He's in material life. He's absolutely disinterested. Uninterested. He's uninterested and disinterested. He has, either way, he's not interested in material life. He's completely detached. But he's completely attached to Krishna. He wants to speak about Krishna. And by the association of Parikshit Maharaj, so many truths of Krishna will come to his lips, which he will share with the world. So there are many verses, the whole Bhagavatam begins, how Shukadeva Goswami explains how he himself came to study this Bhagavatam, that now he's going to speak about Krishna, he's going to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. We have 7 days and seven nights. There's enough time. We're going to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So how he himself came to speak, or how he came to hear that Srimad Bhagavatam. Why this Srimad Bhagavatam? Why this subject matter? Oh, we're going back. Smartavyas Chechatabhayam. Those who want to be free from fear, they should hear about, chant about, and remember Krishna. But generally, death is considered fearful. But those who are atnavit, atnatattvavit, those who know the science of the soul, they are not afraid. So how to be free from fear? The best atnagyan, knowledge of the self, which frees us from fear, is knowledge of the self in relationship with Krishna. So this Shukadeva Goswami is explaining, and he immediately gives the answer to Parikshit Maharaj, that this is the highest perfection of life. Etavan sankhya yogabhyam svadhama parinishtaya janmalabha parapungsam ante narayana smritihi. This is the answer. That you various rishis are here. They may be sankhya, followers of sankhya system, or yogis. They may be karmis, or those who are advocating karmakanda, svadhama parinishtaya. But whichever process you take, the ultimate perfection is at the time of death to remember Narayana. So this subject matter is to be discussed, the subject matter of Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Shukadeva Goswami further qualifies this, that prayena munayo rajan nivritta vidhi shedataha nairgunya staramantesma guna khatane hare. That mainly the topmost transcendentalists, there are so many transcendentalists here, but those who are the topmost transcendentalists, those who are beyond the modes of material nature, those who are not simply speaking about being liberated, but who are factually liberated, they take pleasure in discussing the topics of Krishna. So he's making his presentation. The topmost subject matter for hearing is Krishna, and this is why. That those who have not just speaking about being beyond the modes of material nature, but those who have gone beyond the modes of material nature, and they discuss about Krishna. So this may be a very surprising revelation to those who are interested in the Nirbhid Brahma, the absolute truth without any differentiation, without any differences. Those who are interested in impersonal realization. So to qualify why he will speak the Bhagavatam and the fact that the Bhagavatam should be spoke, Shukadeva Goswami introduces that why he himself, who was coming from that background apparently of being an impersonalist, why he himself came to hear the Bhagavatam. He says, he gives the example of his own life. Idang Bhagavatam nama Puranang Brahma Samitam. This Bhagavatam, which I'm about to recite to you, known as the Bhagavatam, it is the essence of all the Vedas. The Rishis, they are Nasavrishya yasya matanga binnam. They're followers of different parts of the Vedas. And in the Vedas, there are so many different opinions propagated, apparently. Tarka pratishta, tarka apratishta shrutiyo vibhinna. The shrutis, the Vedic literatures, they have so many different, apparently so many different messages. And then the rishis interpret and you get more messages. But as far as I'm concerned, adhitavan dvaparado pitur dvaipayanadaham, that I heard from Vyasadeva, who's my father, Dvaipayana Vyas, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. He taught me what is the Brahma Samhitam, what is the essence of all the Vedas, which is this Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm confident that, because I heard from Vyasadeva, who compiled all the different literatures that you're all arguing over, but he himself told me what is the essence, which is this Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of all the scriptures. So I studied this at the beginning of Dwarapayuga, actually the end of Dwarapayuga. Now it's Kali Yuga. It's the Sandhya period between the Dwarpa and Kali, the juncture of Dwarpa and Kali. So he gives the example of his own life. That not, you see, Vyasadeva, he is given the Srimad Bhagavatam as the essence of all scriptures. And although the impersonalists, they may have a hard time accepting that, but I was also an impersonalist. Parinishtito, pi nairgunya. I was fixed in the impersonal concept of understanding the Absolute Truth. But uttama shloka lidaya, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Grihita cheta raja arshe. O King, you are a great Raja and Rishi. You can appreciate this point. That I accepted that within my mind. I wanted to hear about the pastimes of Krishna. And therefore, akhyanam yadadhitavan. Therefore, even though I was completely detached from all materialistic activities, I took the trouble to study the whole Bhagavatam under my father, which is quite a big job for someone who's supposed to be detached from doing everything. He was so detached, he didn't wear any clothes, he didn't speak, he didn't like to speak with anyone, he didn't like to live with his father. Of course, many people nowadays, they don't like to live with their father, but that's so they can have more sense gratification. But he wanted to have less sense gratification, even though he was living with Vyas. He was completely detached. He didn't even want to live in a cave with Vyas. But he took the trouble to hear, to study Srimad Bhagavata, which may be surprising. If you're already self-realized, then what more is there to do? You just be self-realized, that's all. There's nothing to do. But he took the trouble to hear, to study Srimad Bhagavata, because he realized that beyond this non-differentiated impersonal Brahman, there is more. There is Krishna. This is to be understood. That when you go through all that trouble to be impersonal, liberated, you can finally get situated in impersonal Brahman. But there's more. You can go further. Getting liberated isn't all in all. Beyond this material existence, there is spiritual existence, and not simply some merging, but activities, uttama shloka lila, the activities of Krishna, which materialistic people cannot understand. It looks to them like materialistic activities. And even to impersonalists who are interested in negating material life, all activities appear to them material, so they may also consider Krishna's activities material. Therefore, when one comes to the transcendental position, then he can relish, he can understand what are Krishna's pastimes if he hears from a devotee. So Parikshit Maharaj, from the very beginning, he was a great devotee. So he was very grateful to hear from Shukadev Goswami that he spent his whole life in activities, kingly activities. And undoubtedly, he had some time and opportunity to hear about Krishna. But he didn't have the opportunity to be fully absorbed, as he now has the opportunity to simply hear about Krishna. And in this way, Shukadev Goswami, he'll begin his narration. Hare Krishna. Well, we could go on with the whole right up till the 10th canto, but we have a time limit here, which is, according to my watch, going to come in just less than 40 seconds. Do you have a mic for the questions?
Okay. Maharaj, you've studied Vedic culture very deeply and have written about it in such a nice way, also in some of your books.
Hare Krishna. Well, there's a saying in Vedic culture that where there are no trees, a castor plant is accepted as a tree. A castor plant grows about this high. So,
You've written such nice things about Vedic village life. Most of our devotees here, they're householders, but the majority of them are living outside of the temples. So maybe you could offer them some more specific advice of how they can go on with their Krishna consciousness as householders who are basically working in different environments.
Yes.
Or some in school, but outside of the temples.
There's very much need for that. Well, that's a very big subject in itself, isn't it? That's a very big subject. I've collected literally hundreds of pages of notes on a book I intend to write at some point in time called Family Life in Krishna Consciousness, which may seem strange that a sannyasi would be thinking to write such a book, but who are we preaching to? We're sannyasi is supposed to preach, and most of the people we're preaching to are people in family life, but we generally see people are so much disturbed in their family life that even to discuss about Krishna consciousness, they're mostly just thinking of how to maintain their family position, and so I have lots of notes, and eventually at some point in time before Dehanta Prapti, I want to make a book. But as it is a very big subject, I'll just say what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that when his householder disciples asked him, what does it mean to be a Vaishnava? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, asat sangatyage Vaishnavacha, giving up bad association, that is the essential principle of Vaishnava life. But that is the essential problem of householder life in the modern world also, that the association with asat, that which is asat, it's a big problem. For living and working, you have to associate with so many people who in their basic behavior may be what we would call normal, decent human beings, but who are not Krishna conscious. So the association tends to be contaminating. Therefore, we have to make a strong effort. Actually, strong temples are very important. I think we're realizing this in the present age of ISKCON, where we don't have strong temples in many places, that the importance of having strong temples where devotees who don't have that strong association on a regular basis, they can come and get refreshed by the surcharged atmosphere in the temples. Association on the sat platform, that will help us. Now, if we're just living at home and we don't have much devotee association, well, we have this. We have Srimad Bhagavatam. I often recommend, when people ask me about this, I say the first thing we should do, and when I say this, everyone laughs, but I'm not joking. I'm not at all joking. Is get rid of the TV. You see, now they're all going to laugh. They think it's a joke, but it's not a joke. You're importing into your home and your minds and your lives and your children's lives all kinds of demoniac impressions. Even if you only watch the news. Of course, it could be said it will be kept only for Krishna conscious videos. It's dangerous. It's better to study Srimad Bhagavatam and have deity worship at home. Come home in the evening and take a bath and sing to the Lord. He likes it. So actually, you could probably say much more being here in the Western countries and having so much experience interacting with people. I'm more of a theoretician, but it's good theory. Throughout the TV and chant Hare Krishna. Sadhu, I should say. Sadhu. Invite sadhus to your home. Smita Krishna Maharaj will come if you invite him. Isn't it? If you live on the top of a mountain, 12 kilometers away from anyone, give him the address and a map and he'll cycle up there. He's such a compassionate sadhu. So he will come. Have satsanga. Come together with all the devotees and don't discuss the latest movies or all this rubbish. Discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Study. This is relishable. This is so much nectar. Prabhupada said, if you ever get time, read my books. So do that. It's a little effort maybe because we have to apply our minds. But if we apply our minds to Bhagavatam, we'll reap the nectar. It's very relishable, very sweet, very powerful. I'd like to say something more about this. The father of congregational preaching in Germany, we heard, and Serbia, Croatia, and all these countries. The well-wisher of all the devotees here, Satchinanda Maharaj.
The question is, what advice one can give for the grihasthas living outside the temples in homes? And our Bhakti Vikash Maharaj has instructed us to throw out the one-eyed guru.
Yes.
The one-eyed guru is the TV. He pretends to be a seeing guru, TV, television, but he's... His eyes are not functioning. So yes, I think I will attempt a little answer and then we can also hear from our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who is also... So I will just say shortly, I personally think the great challenge in Grihastha life is how to keep a taste, spiritual taste, alive. When we are in the Grihastha ashram, we are associating more with the material energy. We work, we have to somehow make a relationship, working. There might be children. It's a more association with the material energy, and that association can steal our taste in spiritual life away from us. So the great challenge for Grihasthas is how to keep the taste going. And Bhakti Vikash Maharaj has given us one source of taste. It's the Bhagavatam scripture, and another, the invite sadhus and discuss with them. I personally think that in addition to these things, as Grihasthas, we need to make something which we can call in modern words time management. We have to see that we actually need time to contact the sources of spiritual enthusiasm. We need, for instance, time for chanting good rounds where we are together with Krishna. And if we don't make a plan that these 1.5 to 2 hours of chanting, if we don't make a plan that this is in a good time when I'm really concentrated, then we will start to compromise on our japa, then we will chant bad rounds, then Krishna will not be present in the holy name any longer, he will retrace his mercy, and then we cannot get this contact with Krishna which keeps us alive and enthusiastic. I have seen, at least in Germany and in the congregational field, a grihastha must be intelligent to make time where he can contact Krishna, so that this contact with the material energy will not corrupt his spirituality. Hare Krishna. And he must have peace with his wife. This is another very important thing. And the family members must be spiritually content, because if there is no contention and no affectionate dealings in the home, it becomes a palasha tree. It looks fragrant, but there is no fragrance in the thing. And it is sometimes a very difficult relationships which hurt the heart so much. Yes, and then you come to the sannyasis. How can I be happy in grihastha life? Hare Krishna.
I will not talk so long because we want
to. Yeah. Well,
as Mara says, we want to hear from you as much as possible so we can milk you like a cow. So maybe you can take another one or two questions from the devotees.
Of course, Prabhupada, he had the vision of Krishna conscious agrarian based communities. Get out of these hellish cities. I didn't actualize that.
My question is, if Parikshit Maharaj transgressed the law, Dharma, when he failed to punish Kali and protect his subjects, namely the cow and the bull, and if he did, was that the primary cause of his being cursed by Shringi?
No, he didn't fail, he did. He didn't punish Kali, but he suppressed Kali.
Da, pitanje je bilo da li je Parikshit Maharaj zapravo prekršio zakon Dharme kada nije zaštitio kravu i bika i kada je poštedio Kalija i da li je to bio zapravo pravi uzrok za to što je bio proklet od Shringija.
He punished in as much as he restricted his movements. But Kali being Kali, he wasn't grateful. So he wanted to drive Parikshit Maharaj out so he could have unrestricted access. So he ended the consciousness of Shringi. No, it's not that... This is all arranged. Now, this is not that he was getting a karmic reaction. That was arranged by the Lord, so in Bhagavatam could be spoken. From his point of view, it was a blessing. Now, instead of all this Maharaj Ki Jai Ho stuff, now he's just going to hear about Krishna. Instead of hearing his own praises, he's going to hear Krishna's praises, which is what he really wants. There's another hand raised, I saw. No? Just wait, get the mic. Haribol here.
We heard that the primary subject matter of the Bhagavatam are the pastimes of Lord Krishna, which in themselves are very attractive and we can get very attached to them. But Srila Prabhupada also says that pastimes of creation of material universes are not factually different from these rasic pastimes, which I cannot understand. So I would ask you to please try to explain that.
Yes, we'll find that Shukadev Goswami, he doesn't immediately start explaining the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, but he doesn't even start speaking about Krishna performing the creation, but he starts speaking about the impersonal of God, seeing God in nature. So Prabhupada says that the pastimes of the creation, they're of the same quality as Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, which they are. They're all of Krishna's involvement with the creation. It's all spiritual. It's all transcendental. It's not material. In that sense, it's all of the same quality. Krishna, he is, although he arranges for the creation and through his agents, everything is arranged. Krishna is not materially involved. Krishna does it all for a transcendental purpose, even though we misunderstand it. So in that sense, it's because it's all connected with Krishna, and Krishna is all good, and Krishna is all transcendental, then all the subject matter is transcendental. Although even within transcendental subject matters, there are gradations. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted that Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita, that the best mode of worship of Krishna is that of the gopis in Vrindavan. So is Prabhupada's statement that hearing about the creation is just as good, it's on the same transcendental platform, is that contradictory? No, it's not. Because they're both on the transcendental subject matter. They're both on the transcendental platform, although within transcendental gradation, the pastimes of Vrindavan, they are considered more elevated. But actually, from our point of view, hearing about how Krishna is the how he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be more important than hearing about his pastimes in Vrindavan, because that appreciation of Krishna in Vrindavan won't come unless we are completely purified by understanding our position as the eternal servants of Krishna. So Sukadeva Goswami himself explains all these subject matters and explains the different incarnations of the Lord, which also helps when we come to hear about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. There's always this dichotomy going on that, yes, he's a little cowherd boy holding a piece of yogurt and rice in his hand, and yes, he's simultaneously the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's acting as a cowherd boy. That adds to the sweetness of understanding Krishna. So practically for us, on our platform, it's more important to hear about how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we become encouraged and convinced to surrender to him more and more. Because appreciation of Krishna's, of the rasa of Krishna Lila, that can only come to those who are purified, surrendered souls.
Just to confirm your point, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in the second canto about Srishti Lila is necessary for devotees to hear as long as they're not fully self-realized. And it helps us to become detached, to understand. Because when we hear about the temporary nature of the universe and how it's created and destroyed, we develop detachment, and we need that before we enter to Vrindavan Lila.
There's another question there. Way back. Who's going to run over with the mic? I see one hand is raised there.
While you come up.
Ja bih htio da pitam Guru Maharaja par pitanja imam za njega.
Sorry?
He has few questions.
Few.
Koja je razlika između
Maybe just make it one now.
Vještačke odvojenosti i prave odvojenosti, istinske odvojenosti.
Okay. What is the difference between the first question? What is the difference between real detachment and superficial or external detachment?
Well, that the answer comes in the language itself. One is real and the other isn't. Real means sat. Sat also means that which lasts. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. That which is sat remains. That which is asat doesn't remain. So we shall see in course of time that which is real and that which isn't.
Hvala.
Hare Krishna. Drugo
pitanje.
Maybe we could have questions and answers sessions. Maybe the sannyasis could do one. I could, one of the days in my seminar, do that, just general questions and answers. I did that in, I've just been in Czech and in Ukraine, and I was doing that. That's all I did for my seminar. 2.5 hours each time. No end of questions. Just because people have so many questions. So I can do that. Maybe I'll speak a couple of days on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and then just take questions. Yeah, well, I can just do it in my seminar. So. I have a seminar also. Which is also why I'm looking at my watch, because it's supposed to begin at 10 o'clock. And is it? Okay, well, I wouldn't mind taking a little prasadam also. You're talking about Sugardev.